Lois McClatchy, who is
another good egg.
A very good egg.
She should be a politician.
Yeah, she should be one of the very few who...
If we have women politicians at all, there is.
What did you just say under your breath, Calvin?
I said if we're going to have women politicians at all.
Hang on, you're not saying you can't have women politicians here now.
I'm saying you can't. We have them.
Do you want them?
No, not really.
Okay. Talk me through that one.
I'd rather not. What? I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Fox and Father with me, the Fox, and him,
the Father.
This is a show where Calvin tries to tutor me in the ways of righteousness, sometimes succeeding, often failing. But we try and get there in the end, don't we?
We do. We're on a journey.
We're certainly on a journey. We start off, usually what we do is I have a story for Calvin, give it to him in an envelope. He has a story for me, gives it to me in an envelope, and then there's a mystery envelope. But I've modified it now, so we just pick out the actual tweet that annoys us, or I think it's worth discussing, and then or you think it's worth discussing, and then we play them on the screen, so it gives you a bit of more context for you. But before we kick off, how are you, Father?
Very well. Happy polling day.
Is it polling day?
It is.
It is! Have you voted yet?
I haven't voted yet, no.
Are you going to vote or spoil your ballot?
I still don't know. I still do not know if I'm going to vote. And if I am going to vote, who am I going to vote for?
You're holding this back. This is very unlike you.
I know. I actually hate it. I used to love campaigning. I love elections. It's like, it's an exciting time. You're out there on the streets, knocking on doors, speaking to real people, finding out what their issues are, who they're going to support. I don't have any of that. No canvassing, no campaigning. I have no one to back for the first time ever.
Who would you, if I held a gun to your head? You're stubborn. You just go shoot.
No. I think I'll probably end up spoiling my ballot at this point. People keep asking me, why won't you support reform? Why won't you back reform? And I honestly, unless they come out and say, look, this is a Christian country, we support Christian values, the sanctity of life is paramount, unless they come up to that, unless they do that, none of it matters. Doesn't matter that we're aligned on immigration, doesn't matter that we're aligned on certain issues, because if the reason for that isn't Christ, then it all falls apart. Because the moment you get into office, not that they will, it's the slippery slope to liberalism and nonsense, and or maybe even far right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be liberalism, but it's just abstract politics unless it's centered on Christ.
That's what my dad's been saying.
Is it?
Yeah, and he phoned me up and he said, I want to talk to Farage and tell him that he's got to be the Lord's house or something, you know. And so I sent a message to Nigel and said, my dad wants to have a word with you.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know what Nigel's position on God is, but I imagine it's ambivalent, but I could be wrong. And I sent a message to Nigel and I said, my dad wants to have a word with you. Can you have a word with you? And Nigel went, sure.
Oh, good.
So they spoke
if
yesterday.
Anyone could, yeah, if anyone could give him a nudge in the right direction, it's your father.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's big kudos to my dad. So you don't know how you're going to vote.
Have you voted?
No. I am tempted. They do have to record spoiled ballots. So
they do.
There is a campaign out to spoil your ballots. I'm not sure what that is, but, you know, I think a vote at this juncture for anyone inside the Uniparty tent is, they're just in the tent.
I'm starting to feel sorry for friends of ours that are appearing desperate and really, some of them are getting nasty towards reform, some of them are out there begging for votes, and none of it looks very pleasant or edifying.
It doesn't feel like it's going to be, it feels like to me that we've got, we're going to get the most, Starmer's doing a Biden. So Biden did that whole kind of, I'm a safe pair of hands, you know, just let me look after the country, it's fine, you don't want this lunatic Trump, come on. And then Biden brings in the most radically progressive policy platform in the history of America.
Yeah.
And I think that Keir Starmer's going to do the same.
Well, he is. That's...
I think he's pretending to be a normal bloke, but he's actually a virulent Marxist.
Yeah, he is. But it doesn't matter, because he's going to get in regardless. It doesn't matter what we do at this point. It's a
bit depressing to say that there's not much we can do at this point.
No, but this is why I don't care anymore. It's like it is. I used to love it, and I used to love the energy. And I know some of you guys are going out to Clacton later and stuff. I just can't be bothered with it. Done with politics. I'm disinterested in it, if anything.
I've got that. We were talking about this last week. I've got this sort of, what's the point? Your life is not worth the 24-hour cycle of aggro that is Twitter or the political arena of people trying to stab each other and destroy each other.
Yeah.
I just find it very, very unedifying, I think is the word. But I think that it's important that even though Nigel threw both you and I under the bus at a Free Speech Union event, I'm trying to not let my ego get in the way.
I like that.
I don't care. People have been saying to me, but he really slagged you off with this. And I'm like, he has to do that because he's part of the fucking tent. So, you know, once you're in the tent, it's the same as this announcement he made about saying that the second and third lockdowns were fine, but the second and third lockdowns were egregious, but the first one, it's sort of, no, they were all egregious.
They were all bad.
They were all egregious, but it's in order to be in the tent, you've got to kind of hang on to the establishment coattails a little bit.
Although they've been attacking him for his Ukraine stance, which I thought was outrageous, because he was spot on in that stance. But even if he wasn't, he's allowed to have an opinion on it. And all of the mainstream media and the politicians went for him, didn't they? Well, did we talk about that last week?
Well, no, I think we did talk about that last week. But it keeps appearing in my Twitter feed, these drone shots of Ukrainian and Russian soldiers being killed by these drones.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awful.
And it's like, who would have thought? I mean, it's kind of logical, I suppose, that you get a drone, you stick a couple of...
But it's ugly war. It's
horrible.
It's not
English. You can't surrender to a drone.
Remember when we were fighting the French, we refused to use crossbows because we thought there has to be an element of mastery, of skill involved, but also an element of honour and an element of risk. Like, the crossbow didn't have any risk or any skill involved, so there was no honour. As Englishmen, we refused to use it. And I think this is what we've lost in this. Using these drones is detached. So there's no human element. There's no soul. You don't see the person you're killing. So it's a video game.
Worryingly, they do. And it is a video game.
Yeah, but you're not there is what I mean. You're not part of it. It's a machine that you're controlling. So there's a disconnect between you and the enemy.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's especially when you're seeing these guys begging for their lives and they just sort of dangle this bomb and drop it on them. And it's just like, occasionally a video will come through, which is really, it brings joy to my soul.
Right.
Like one of the drones will mess up, will blow up, but the guy will survive. And then you'll turn around and shoot the other two down. And, you know, you just...
Well, I've not seen any of this.
It's not...
Your algorithm's different to mine.
It's called Go something or other. Govid or something. It's really... I can't recommend it.
No,
it's like it's GoPro videos of the war, and it's and drone footage, and it just makes you think, why would Nigel's position on saying that the Ukraine war needs to be brought to an end? I mean, Tucker Carlson's the same. Yeah. You know, he's a
Putin apologist.
Russia has 100 million more people. That is a significant number
of
extra people, as he quite rightly pointed out. Anyway, speaking of, what were we talking about? We're talking about your week. You've moved. So
I'm in Cambridge now, and it's beautiful, it's lovely, it's peaceful, I'm with good people. It's kind of where I'm living, it's kind of a Benedict option. I won't go into it too much because I don't want people to know exactly where it is, but it's kind of, it's a Christian community within the Cambridge region. So it's kind of, you're around other people who share your values.
Oh, so nice.
That's so important.
That'd be good for you.
Yeah. Good. Get away from the city, as in like the metropolitan, and be amongst people who are good.
Bravo, well done, mate.
Yeah. So when are you moving?
Next Wednesday.
Okay.
I went up and got the keys to the house on Friday. And I went up with Lizzie and we slept on the floor because obviously we don't have a bed in there.
Yeah.
Forgot towels. So there was some interesting running around, air drying action going on. And we went and we took the dogs and it was
all
of the dogs, not all the puppies. The puppies didn't. The puppies go. There's three left. There's going to be two gone.
Oh no!
On Sunday,
it's very sad.
And there's going to be just Narinda, now renamed Snickers. But I'm thinking of renaming it Narinda. There'll just be Narinda left.
Wow!
I know, it's been a real journey. But I didn't do what you're meant to do, which is like charge people money for them, because I thought, why would I charge you money for a living thing? So I could have made thousands and I've not bothered making thousands. So
people happy.
they're going to lovely, lovely homes. Yeah. And they're, I mean, it's just the right time because these little things are crazy.
Yeah.
So I went there on Saturday. My heart, I felt like, I realized that my heart had been feeling like someone had been squeezing it so painfully. And the minute I arrived, and the minute I saw the space and everything, and we were wandering around, we were working out where we were going to put things, and, you know, the thought of actually building a life again,
yeah,
just my heart just started singing. I felt so happy. I can't tell you. So, yeah, goodbye, Londonistan.
Yeah.
And then you come back to town, and I came back to town, and I was immediately like, God, I've got to get out of this. I go up to my front door just because the harassment I've had from the police and from very small members of the public. Most of the public are really nice to me, but just those, they really affect your psyche. And I go to open my front door, and my hand will have a little shake, and I'll be like, you know, that's not good.
No, it's not.
So we're out, and I'm going to take, I don't think there's anything that we're going to achieve hugely on, you know, reclaim stuff other than supporting, we've invested in the rally for Tommy, because yes. I'm really concerned that they're going to jail him. So going off grid, I will be buying solar panels.
Mm.
I will be buying a generator.
Mm.
I will be buying a chest freezer. I will be buying a lot of logs. I will be prepping. There's two wells in the garden, which I need to look into. I want to have a look into those, see if I can get my own water.
Fresh water supply. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. So I'm off, it's oil powered, so I'm off that grid.
Wow.
It's, I'm quite like, I'm ready to try and rebuild, because I've definitely felt that this last 4 years, and it's not just 4 years, because there's also all the hellish marriage stuff that has been going on for the time before.
Do you know much about prepping?
No, but I know a few people that do. Do you know much?
No, but people have been tweeting me saying start stocking up on canned goods and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know that much. I think the important thing is have a generator. Make sure that you've got sort of a few weeks worth of stuff. I do sense that it could all kick off at some point. I mean, hopefully it won't. But just emotionally for me, I felt where I always wanted to be, because obviously I did live when I was married in the countryside for 10 years. So it's not a new experience for me.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about starting a new chapter of my life. And also just stepping back, you know, what we were talking about last week, this idea of what is the point in me, rather than taking feminism all the way up to women can have penises, just to go, what is the point in me? Reflecting on that. And the timing is quite good, because, you know, they're going to prorogue parliament, they're going to do all this stuff. You've got the King's speech, you've got everyone's got to get sworn in. And there is work that I want to do, but first and foremost, I need to get strong again. It's really taken it out of me. I didn't realise how much it has, but you did. But it's really taken it out of me, this past thing. So I'm going to take a bit of time to think. And also, I think then, you know, here's my example. As you well know, I said I didn't want to shag someone on GB News. And some Australian guy called Angelos Frangopoulos went on an apology tour the next morning going, it's totally unacceptable. I can't, he'll never appear on GB News.
He's got to stay in the tent.
Yeah, because he's got to stay in the fucking tent. And then David Aronovich decides to go, if I was Biden, I'd kill Trump now. And nothing. No sanction.
He said the quiet part out loud.
So incitement not to shag someone is a bigger crime than incitement to murder a presidential candidate. That's what I'm sick of.
But it's always the two-tiered system, isn't it? It was the same when, was it Kathy Griffin, who held up a head of Trump?
Yeah, yeah.
The ginger comedian. I say
comedian.
But they are literally inciting violence because they hate the opposition. Whereas we think they're wrong, they hate us.
Yeah.
And they get away with it.
Yeah. And they are the prevailing thing. So that's why one of the things about reform, which I think is good, is I want there to be a mainstream movement that turns around and goes, no, sorry, Mr. Lefty Councillor.
Yeah.
And if I reported him to the police, I reported him to, I've never reported people, but I took it from you.
Yeah.
It's like, I reported him. Good. You better go and investigate him. Stop coming around my house.
Right.
Do you know what they did as well? Those little fuckers, sorry.
Who?
The Metropolitan Police. I finally get all my kids' stuff back, right? All of it is irretrievably corrupted. Every single device is busted and broken. Is that criminal damage?
It sounds like it. You need to speak to your lawyers.
I'm going to speak to my lawyers, and the police can pay but to have that mended.
I still don't understand how they, first of all, took your kids' devices and secondly, kept them for so long.
Because they're bastards. Sorry, but they are. And, you know, again, another reason why you do want a bit more Nigel Farage in Parliament. Mm. He'll be sitting there saying this policing system is utterly broken.
Yeah,
I want to do some work on it, actually. I do want to get Bad Law to do some work. Mm. I think that'll be the bit of work we do later in the year, is I want to do a bit of work on the police, public confidence in the police and public confidence in the judiciary.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to hit you up. Actually, no, you're going to hit me up. You sent it to me. So this is Miriam Cates.
First of all, I absolutely love Miriam Cates. I think she is the best they have. As far as conservatives go, she's a natural conservative. She fights a good fight. She's bold, she's brave, and she says what needs to be said in love, truth in love. She's a good example of a Christian conservative.
She's a Christian conservative. She's being attacked by the BBC.
Yes.
Tory candidate was trustee of a church that endorsed conversion therapy. Now, I'm not great on law, on like electoral law,
right,
which is odd for the leader of a political party. But Purdah,
right,
is, you can't be partisan and slag people off in Purdah, which is what they're doing.
Right. But the BBC right now should be impartial. They should be politically neutral and providing a platform to the major parties. They shouldn't be attacking individual politicians with hit pieces like this, trying to say, look at this, she's a bigoted conservative Christian, don't vote for her, essentially, which is what they're doing.
Which is
outrageous.
It is outrageous. And also, the most tenuous of links to conversion therapy. Now, I do want to have a row with you, though.
Let's have a row, because do you know what conversion therapy is?
Tell me what conversion therapy is, Kelv.
So it's a misnomer. They use this term in order to make it sound bad. What conversion therapy, historically, is when people would be electrocuted, right? Homosexuals would be electrocuted through therapy to try and
make them straight.
That's horrible, and that's illegal. That has been illegal for a long time. But what they're talking about when they say conversion therapy is just people praying with people or advising people or helping or supporting people who may be same-sex attracted or struggling with same-sex attraction but want to live a good, chaste life and or a heterosexual life because that is God's good order.
Can you be like this, Calv? I love you so much. But what do you mean struggling with same-sex attraction?
Because some people
are just gay, aren't
they? No. What do you mean people are just gay? Do you not believe in a spectrum, Lawrence?
Yeah, I do. But I mean, I believe that some people are on the very, very gay end of the spectrum.
But some people, I don't think, I'm not going to that. But some people identify as Christians, right?
Yeah.
Before this whole perverse society where you're supposed to identify as your sexual attraction, which is stupid.
So boring.
But people identify as Christian because they identify themselves in Christ, as we should. And if that is the case, and then you find yourself same-sex attracted, you would recognize that there's nowhere to go for that. That's a dead end, because you can't be a Christian and live a life in active homosexuality. Because
so you can't be a great gay Christian?
There's no such thing as gay Christian. And so if you're struggling with same-sex attraction, which some people do at certain points in their lives, you might want to go to therapy. You might want to have people pray for you. You might want to spend time in solace. You might want to find a way to deal with that same-sex attraction until you no longer have it, or until you find a way to cope with it. And that people have to be allowed to have that and to go through
that. If they want it, yeah.
Yes.
So you're saying that this is a Christian thing. Someone who's gay, they're Christian, they go to the church and they say, look, I'm gay. Or I'm struggling with same-sex attraction, as you like to delicately put it out. I love God.
Yeah.
I love Christ.
Right. What should I do?
I also love cock.
And can you help me?
That can't... It's just hardwired into someone's brain. It's like you're just...
Who said?
I just
this is one of the gravest lies and nonsense we've been told. Yeah, you are just born gay. It's part of your which part of your DNA is it? Like, where's the studies that show this? That's all a nonsense.
I know loads of gay people,
right?
And they find the idea of the female body,
sure,
and the female reproductive parts of the female body.
Yes.
That makes them wretch.
Well, I know lots of people who have suffered from same-sex attraction and ended up actually living very happy married lives with children. I also know many same-sex attracted people who have stayed single and chaste for the rest of their lives in order to live a holy, good, ordered life. So there are different pathways for different people.
Mm.
This modern idea of, yeah, I'm gay, so I'm just going to get married to a guy is very disordered.
I think then I'd agree with you. I don't agree with marriage, same-sex marriage. I think marriage is between a man and a woman. So there I do agree with you. I think you should have all the same legal rights in a single-sex relationship, but I don't think it should be called marriage. I think it's appalling to call it marriage, actually. I'm really against that. But there are gay people in the world, Calv.
I've met them. If there are people who struggle with same-sex attraction and they want help, they should be able to get that help. But the problem is people want to outlaw that help. Well, if they don't want to get help, that's on them. But people want to make it illegal and they call it conversion therapy in order to ban it so that you are no longer able to have a conversation with someone who says, look, I'm suffering from same-sex attraction, can you help me? That because that conversation will be illegal.
But maybe they're not suffering the same-sex attraction. They just really like cock.
But if someone comes to you and says they're struggling with same-sex attraction, you should be able to help.
I would take it seriously if someone said I'm struggling with it, and I, you know, because that would imply that they didn't want to be same-sex attracted.
Right, because they see Christianity as the truth, rather than this secular idea of all things are good.
I'm not saying all things are good. I don't know. We're not here. Oh no, he's giving me the look. I'm getting the look. The look is coming. Okay, I think we just have to.
But there's two sides to this. So one is that the government want to ban something they call conversion therapy, which is just therapy and just prayer and just
they can't do that. I totally disagree with that.
And the other element of this is that the BBC is using it as a stick to beat Miriam Cates with, which I think is entirely inappropriate.
The BBC are entirely inappropriate for, anyway.
I mean, a woman who campaigns for protecting homosexual people who've been transitioned and preventing them from being mutilated and castrated. And
you see, that's where I think there is a delineation. You know, I think that mutilating God's creation is really
evil.
It's a really, really bad idea. And especially doing it to people that are disordered in their mind anyway.
But this is the modern pathway. So we've gone from my position, which is there's no such thing as a gay man, to your position, which is, yes, there are gay people, to the next position, which is, no, there aren't gay people, they're just stuck in the wrong body.
No, but gays are as angry as anyone else, actually, about the trans thing.
Have you been in touch with the gay community lately?
Well, I've got quite a few gay mates, actually.
The gay community find out what their representative says.
It's odd that I've got... it's odd that I'm a racist homophobe who got quite a few gay friends and is marrying a mixed race woman. But, you know, let's not get the details mess with the joy of their story. Anyway, this is one of the other reasons to depart for a while. Mm. Because people were... If I'm going to get beaten up and brutalized in anything I say, doesn't matter, you know, and I'm fired and piled on and all that sort of stuff, that has an effect on you. But the good thing about the human nature is, you know, bullies need to bully. So they'll just move on to someone else for a bit. And I'm going to deprive them of an opportunity to bully me. And I'm going to use the commitments that I'm making to myself. I'm going to use social media a lot less. I'm going to use it as a way of broadcasting like this, but I'm going to set up in a new house in my study.
Nice.
I'm going to set up a system where I can where I can say what I want to say, and I can say it in a considered way, and then that can be my social media content, rather than me just going doom scrolling my way through, you know, whatever people are angry about this week. But it's, you know, it is a complete farce, the whole thing, and I'm very, very excited about a new way of living and a new way of seeing. So what you're going to do, you're going to do Cambridge and then you're going to move somewhere else for a bit.
Then I'm going to Oxford for a month and then potentially come and stay with you.
Yeah.
And that'd be nice. And then see where I go from there.
And we're off to Skiathos, baby.
We are.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Well, yeah. I'm just going to book it regardless of the fact that I'm being dragged through the system yet again for no fucking reason whatsoever. It's strange, people not letting go.
Mm.
I think that's really a strange and worrying thing in life.
It's not good for them.
I feel sorry for people who don't let go. Mm. I feel sorry for people that don't move on, but it ain't my life. And if I've learned anything, you can't change other people. So that's that. Now, before the, I just on the subject of Miriam Cates, so I think we agree that it's appalling that the BBC should do this to her.
Yeah.
On the subject of Miriam Cates, we have this.
Some more bullies.
We've got, no, that's coming later. Oh, okay. We've got this coming up to your screen now.
Over the last 5 years, I've spoken out consistently on immigration, on lockdowns, on women and children's safety, and I've risked a lot to do so. But a number of people have been telling me that despite their appreciation for my record, they're considering voting for reform because they're so fed up with mainstream politics. And look, I do understand that. I completely share those frustrations. And that's why I have spoken and voted and acted in the best interests of our country and our constituency, even when that has put me at odds with my party, with the media and the Westminster bubble. But voters say they want MPs who are brave and principled and prepared to stand up for what's right, even if they do face attack. But if you want brave and principled MPs in Parliament, you can't just wish for them, you have to vote for them. So if you acknowledge the stand that I've taken, but then don't vote for me, how are we going to get and keep principled politicians? And you know from my record that I will defend the best interests of our community and our nation. But the Labour and the Reform candidates didn't even show up to our local hustings debates. So how will they have the courage to speak up for our area in Parliament? And the Reform Party can't win here. So your next MP will be either me, Miriam Cates, or a Labour MP. So if you support me, if you support what I stand for, then please support me with your vote on Thursday.
So, Miriam Cates, does she have a point?
She has a very good point. And I, as I've said, I love her as a politician, and I support her as a politician, but I can't support her party. If she'd have chosen to stand as an independent, I would have voted for her if I was in her constituency.
What about if she stood as leader? She's a Christian.
Yeah, she is a good Christian. If she stood as leader, fantastic. I would have voted for her as leader if I wasn't kicked out of the party.
Oh yeah, they cancelled you for the Conservative Party as well.
Probably one of the reasons why. But yeah, I can't endorse the Conservative Party. I don't think people should vote for the Conservative. Even people like her who should be in politics, who should be in the House of Parliament, I can't support the party. Stand as an independent. All the good people should be independents.
I agree that more people should stand as independents. And I certainly think they will do, actually.
Because they're campaigning for themselves anyway. I've seen this for all of the good Conservatives at the moment. They're Imogen Sinclair standing as well. I watched her campaign video. It's great. I thought, who are you standing for? The word Conservative is not mentioned anywhere.
Yeah,
like they're already distancing themselves from the party, which I find quite sad, actually.
So Andrew Jenkins is the same.
Right. Like another one I love. Andrew Jenkins is a fantastic person. Joy Morrissey. There are some good people in the party, but they need to just leave the party if the party is so bad that they can't associate with it.
Yeah. But there will be a Conservative Party after all of this. And, you know, who's going to lead it? Kemi?
Another one that I like as a person. But I don't like her approach to this. She's gone on an attack of reform, an attack of Nigel. It's not edifying for her or the party.
I think politics is horrible, isn't it? It just
brings
really
out the worst in people.
Exactly right. It brings out the worst in people. Do you think that people are fed up, or do you think that they feel a sense of hope that...
It's hard to tell. Because I feel fed up. I feel disenfranchised from it all. So I can't really tell what other people are feeling, but...
I think a lot of people feel the same. I think they feel disenfranchised. But is there an argument for reform not to stand against her in her constituency?
No, not at all. If you're a political party, you should stand in 650 seats.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't want Andrew Jenkins to get back in or Miriam to get back in?
I think the Conservatives need zero seats. I'm fully behind the zero seats policy. Unless they get that, they will not learn their lesson as a party. Then it will be a great shame. The sacrifice is the good people. But sometimes we have to make sacrifices. They are going to have to be martyred for this cause. In that, if a few Tories hang on to their seats, the party will launch to the left and they will say, we're too far right, blah, blah, blah.
Not if you left with Miriam Cates, Jenkins and Kemi.
But the parliamentary party doesn't decide that, does it?
No. Well, I mean, it might do.
Well, maybe.
When CCHQ is 400 times the size of the actual parliamentary.
If they get rid of CCHQ and Dr. No and all these malevolent forces, then they've got a chance. But
Dickie from Billericay.
Like, if it was up to me, I'd put Miriam Cates and Sir John Hayes in charge of the entire party, And then they'd have my full support, and they'd be able, I reckon they'd be able to sort the country out.
They could, couldn't they? Because there is going to be a stick of tension between Reform and them. And, you know, much as I love Ben Habib and all that sort of stuff, Reform is quite a shallow pool in lots of ways. And we will have to see how it turns out. So you want zero seats?
I want zero seats.
Talk me through zero seats.
14 years, not a single Conservative policy. They haven't changed anything. They've not fixed anything. Tony Blair destroyed the country, destroyed many institutions, set loads of horrible things in motion. And the Tories have had so long to fix it. And now you've got them saying things like, well, if you vote for us, we'll fix immigration, we'll fix this, we'll fix that. It's like, literally, you're in power now and you've been in power for 14 years. What have you done? Nothing.
I find that depressing as well, all of their kind of, a vote for Labour is a vote for, a vote for Reform is a vote for the supermajority of Labour. I'm like, yeah. You could have been Conservative.
Yeah.
You could have just been Conservatives. Yeah. And the arrogance of these people to think that the reason why Reform is surging is because they're saying what everyone who voted Brexit thinks, which is get control of our borders.
Which is why they had a stonking 80-strong majority to sort out immigration, to sort out Brexit. But they didn't do any of it.
And why not?
Granted, COVID got in the way.
Well, COVID shouldn't have got in the way of people getting on dinghies and coming in. It should give us an excuse to send them back. But you failed your PCR test.
It started the process of the malevolent forces getting Boris out to get their man in, and that's what destroyed everything.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's been an absolute shambles, the whole thing. And as I said, I've been in that building over there a few times, and I find the whole thing just a den of thieves.
It is.
That's why I'm sad they did. I'm sad that someone like Miriam Cates, who's a really good representative for her people,
I agree,
is going to lose to some Reform person.
Well, she won't. She'll lose to Labour.
Well, lose to Labour because of some Reform person.
Right.
But, you know, as you say, you could have been Conservative 14 years, but she has been. And she's just, you know, imagine how much more difficult it is to be Conservative in a party full of Lib Dems.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard.
Which is why they need zero seats.
Which is why they need
enough for the Tories.
So you're recommending a ballot-spoiling exercise, and
I'm not recommending it to anyone. I'm just saying I think I'm personally going to spoil my ballot. I'm not encouraging anyone to do anything.
It doesn't make any difference to me where I live, because where I live, you can't go anywhere without tripping over a Palestinian flag. I'm surprised the zebra crossings haven't been turned into
Palestinian flags. In your old house.
Yeah, in the house I'm leaving.
Yeah.
God, I'm so excited about leaving that. Okay, all right, so zero seats it is, Calv.
Yes.
And, right, now, this is
there was
the
a
next
poll last year that showed that Sir John Hayes would be the last remaining Tory, and that would be a happy time, I think.
There was a poll?
Yeah, there was a poll a while ago that said all the Tories would lose their seats except for Sir John Hayes. And that's a party I can support.
The Sir John Hayes party?
Yes.
I love Sir John Hayes.
Yeah.
He's one of the nicest people in there. He's such a friendly man as well.
Yeah.
And he advised me right at the beginning. He said, he just said, don't have a political party, have a movement. Try and build a movement.
Yeah.
And that's what we're gonna do. And with our friend Mr. Robinson and et al. Right. Now, Lois McClatchy, who is
another good egg.
A very good egg.
She should be a politician.
Yeah, she should be one of the very few who
if we have women politicians at all, those.
What did you just say under your breath, Calvin?
I said, if we're going to have women politicians at all.
Hang on, you're not saying you can't have women politicians now.
I'm not saying you can't. We have them.
Do you want them?
Not really.
Okay. Talk me through that one.
I'd rather not. What? I'm not going to get myself in trouble.
Okay, well, let's... Okay.
Universal suffrage was a mistake. It hasn't brought us any good fruit.
Well, it has doubled the tax burden.
Right. And we've delved further into liberalism as a result.
Is feminism, you maintain that feminism is the main problem in life, don't you?
It's not the main problem in life, but it's a main cultural evil in our society.
Do you think it's gave birth to wokery, feminism?
It is, yeah. It's the root of liberalism.
Is that because women tend to think more from an emotional standpoint?
Yeah, they're more inclusive.
I'm not doing a...
Right, it's a generalisation, so there will be exceptions, but the exception doesn't prove the rule, and yeah, you're right. Women are more emotive and more emotionally intelligent and more flexible and inclusive, and that has led, you know, this is why certain positions offer male leadership.
I think there is an argument for the fact that at least acknowledging that men and women are different, have different qualities. Yes. But I then think of Margaret Thatcher. While you say the word inclusive, just as a side issue, I'm fucking fed up of this use of language.
And like, Thatcher was a great exception.
Yeah.
That does not prove the rule.
No, you're right. But I'm really fed up of this language, like inclusive. Mm. Because, we're, you know, on the door in that, where those nurses that we talked about last week, it, in Darlington Hospital, it says on the nurse, female changing door, this is an inclusive changing space.
It's like fighting back, aren't they?
It's not inclusive to allow autogynephilic men to ogle you.
It is.
Is it?
I mean, it is now, isn't it? That changing room is literally inclusive to the point that any man can go in there, say, I identify as a woman, and ogle at the women getting changed and expose themselves to the women getting changed. It's disgusting. It's wrong. It's perverse.
It's misogynistic.
Yeah, it is.
This whole progressive movement hates women.
Yeah.
It hates women. It wants to eradicate them off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And everyone calls it progressive. But actually, it's just a bunch of cuck males trying to dominate and destroy society. But I hate that. And I hate the Kamala Harris thing where she's talking on the BET Awards. Get on, my sister. I got it.
I'm here in the streets.
I'm here on these streets. But it's when they say women's reproductive rights.
Yeah. Women do have a right to reproduce, absolutely.
Yeah, but that's not what women's reproductive rights
means. No, it's not.
Means
it means it's the right to end reproductive rights.
It's the right to kill their offspring. Yeah.
Who has a right to kill their offspring? That's disgusting.
Why is it complicated that? Why?
Because they're evil.
But if you explain this to someone, right, you just sit down and you go, you say to them, okay, so you have the man, you have the woman, and they have a total unique genetic code.
Yeah.
So you can test them. Like, if there's a crime, there's a 1 in 26 billion chance that it wasn't you who did it, because your genetic code is, as you know, complicated and much more complicated than your fingerprint.
Right.
So if the man is a unique and totally unique individual, which I find incredible on a planet full of 7 billion people, that every single one of us is unique, and those two people reproduce and have a child, then that ball of cells, that's a totally unique person. That doesn't belong to the woman.
No. That moment of conception, there is a light, there is a spark, as the sperm and the egg unite, there's a spark of light, and that is the moment that life begins.
Yeah.
It's biblical.
It is biblical, but I just find that distortion of language, you know, like undocumented, what do they call them in America? Instead of illegal migrants, they call them undocumented.
Yeah.
And they did have one, which was prison... Or law affected individuals.
A law affected individual,
which is like
or a convict.
Yeah, so it's like it's really people think it's a joke now, but if you say it for often enough, you're destroying and demeaning the whole value of language, which is, I mean, that way hell lies. We're going to do really badly. But anyway, back to Lois McClatchy. Lois McClatchy, for those who don't know, is one of the few people in the UK, because in the UK it's not really been a big issue to talk about abortion.
Right.
And she sent me...
Her and her husband are great on this.
Yeah.
Dr. Callum Miller is wonderful.
They're really lovely. Anyway, she sent me this.
You can go on in home. Yeah. All right.
Could you tell us what teaching Jesus said abortion's bad?
Yeah.
Tell us what shows in the Bible where it says abortion is bad?
You're recording minors again, that's legal offence!
I'm
also assigned minors
today! I'm asking for every reason questions, you know. Could you tell me what part of the Bible says abortion is bad?
Oh my god, he's getting stripped out of getting women to help him! I thought that was against the fucking rights of women!
That'll be okay. Just go into... Go in here. Let's just stand here. Stand here. The security must come.
Can you stand here, please?
Stop.
Can you stand here, please?
Stop, group.
Can you wait here, please?
Well, that's quite enough of that.
Yeah, bullies. So, just bullies.
But okay, in the woke world, this is why I really can't bear the woke world. Mm. That's a person of colour being attacked by a white person.
Yeah. And a minority. And
minority group. They need protection.
He's a Christian. He's an elderly chap. He's a pastor and his grandfather. And they're attacking him.
I'm terrified of these little... Well, I'm not terrified of them. I find it very, very hard, again, to not hate people that do that.
They just need a good hiding. This is what they've been missing in their lives.
They need what?
A good hiding.
Good slap.
They have no discipline, and they haven't been disciplined, clearly, growing up. And they're just entitled brats who think everyone should think like they do, and if they don't, they should be bullied. And it's wrong.
But why doesn't the woke world say that's a person of colour being abused?
It doesn't matter, does it?
Are they not using the white
privilege? It goes back to last week of me no longer being black because I don't have the views that a black person should have. It's you're no longer in their label. They put you in a label, and the moment you don't fit the criteria, they cast you aside and essentially want to cancel you. And this is what they're doing to the poor chap.
Because you're not in their label. So you're only in their label as long as you behave like a victim who has no control over their own life.
They're fascists.
They are fascists, aren't they? I'm sick of them.
Yeah.
But to bully an old man...
That's awful.
You know, and especially... I think that the abortion debate is going to get more and more and more powerful in this country.
But what they're not realising is that Christians have to turn the other cheek. But we only have two cheeks.
What does that mean?
Well, it's getting to a point where we've already turned our cheek. Right. So there's got to be a backlash.
From Christians?
Yeah.
What does a Christian backlash look like?
I don't know.
Praying for someone really hard.
That's rude.
I'm just saying. I feel like the Christians are really vulnerable to this stuff. Christians have to love it.
Historically have been warriors, Templars and Crusaders, and that time is coming again.
We're going to get some Crusades going on. We've already talked about this. We've got the sword with that's the shape of the cross that's going in your behind your thing, you're going to be like Blade. That's a bit racist, isn't it?
That is very racist.
Sorry.
I love Blade. That was a great
good
film. Yeah.
And I'm going to be like Dolph Lundgren. I'll just have to do a bit of roids, some press-ups, and we'll go on a Christian crusade together. What will we do? What would we do if we encountered that crowd?
There is another instance. Can we show another video?
Yeah.
This week.
We can show a video this week.
Okay. This is at the Redbridge Council in London.
I welcome all present to this ordinary council meeting. Please remain standing for prayers.
And we'll stop that one there. I don't want them having their demonic chants going on too long.
I just thought we're going to, it's an ordinary council meeting. Now we'll stop for prayers.
Prayer. That was not prayer. It was a demonic chant. The mayor represents the king, our sovereign, right? They are deputized on behalf of the king. So they're representing him. They should be praying for his faith, for the faith of the land, not for their own personal faith. Muhammad, we shouldn't have Mohammedans in elected office in this country anyway. But if we are going to have them, they should be leading prayers that are Christian prayers, or getting someone in to lead Christian prayers, rather.
It is worrying. I mean, I'm trying to moderate my stance, and I'm struggling with it. So I'll tell you what I'm trying to do, and you can tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I think that someone who... I'd much prefer to come across someone who faithfully served a peaceful God.
Okay.
Then I would come across someone who served nothing, like these little cretinous mask wearing fascists who abuse this old man and this who's preaching the gospel. And I'd much prefer to come across that than someone else. So I'm trying to just.
So that sounds like an argument for the lesser evil.
What do you mean?
As in, I'd rather a Mohammedan than an atheist because at least they believe in something. That's a lesser evil, right?
Well, I just can't say that. There must be so many Muslims who reject the violent part of it. I mean,
then they reject their faith. It's a violent faith about subsuming and dominating and forming a caliphate and killing the people that won't revert. We live in a discriminatory country already. We cannot have a Catholic king, for example, because the Protestant faith of Anglicanism has to be protected in this realm, right? So we shouldn't allow Mohammedans to stand for office either. We should be allowed to discriminate.
Can you be a Catholic MP?
I think you can be. Yeah, you can become a Catholic MP now, but that's only since emancipation, I'm sure.
So they'll change the law to make, because we, I mean, we're minutes away from. Well, I mean, we got a Hindu prime minister.
Our prime minister should be a Christian.
But he's not a
for many reasons. We saw at the coronation when he had to read the epistle. We had a heathen reading the epistle, reading from the scriptures. A Catholic wouldn't allow that in their service. We did because we're so wet and we just do whatever because we want to please everyone. But it shouldn't be allowed. You should be a Christian to run for, to stand for office. Sorry, my Americanization. To stand for office in this great country, which is a Christian country.
It would make things a lot simpler, wouldn't it?
It would. Get rid of Sadiq Khan. Get rid of Rishi Sunak.
Oh, so I'd love and, to go and knock
Mr.
on.
White.
Hamza Yusuf White, people are white. Racist prick. Yeah, God, I'd love to turn up to City Hall and just go with a bunch of bishops and just go, we're here to see Sadiq Khan. And they're like, sorry, he's busy. I'm like, he's got to go. He's out. He's not even a true Muslim, though, Sadiq, is he?
I don't know. I think he is.
He's doing the whole waving the LGBTQ.
Yeah, that's Takia. He's trying to convince the woke people.
Is Takia the phrase for when you like you can drink to hide amongst the infidels?
Yeah, when you can lie essentially to pretend to gain trust from the infidels before you take them over.
Do you think we've been taken over?
London's been taken over, absolutely.
It has. I'll tell you what, it ain't been taken over where I'm moving, mate.
Good.
It ain't been taken over.
But if we had some strong conservatives, they should enact
a
law.
Maybe I'll come back in 6 months when everyone stops getting annoyed with me and I'll wear a suit and start being serious.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe they'll...
I've seen you wear a suit once or twice.
Yeah. I think I need to... I might chip a few of my rougher edges off.
Okay.
And come back ready to, ready to scare some people.
Yeah.
Because we do need... The thing is, you need... I'm very new to my political life in as much as the fact that I don't really have a political life and I didn't read the How to Be a Politician book, as you can probably tell. But I think if I rejig and regather myself and make sure I know what the problem is, and I think it is a bit of a spiritual problem, and articulate that properly with I think I could be of use again.
Okay.
So don't be surprised if I'm running the country in 12 years.
All right. Sounds
Will you
good.
Be my Archbishop of Canterbury? You
Absolutely.
Are you allowed to be?
I'm sure we can find a way.
We'll just jig with the laws. We'll just jig with the laws. I don't think Sadiq Khan should be able.
No.
But then what did that? But then you're sort of attacking democracy itself by saying, well, hang on a minute. Sorry, Muslims.
Well, democracy is not free for all. But this is a representative constitutional monarchy anyway. It's not a democracy.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. Democracy is an idol for many people in the West, but democracy is just the least bad idea that we have.
Yeah, that's right. It is. So, what we haven't really come to any conclusions about.
Well, one conclusion is no Mohammedans standing for office. Make sure that only Christians can stand for office in this Christian country.
Would you call a Muslim a Mohammedan to his face?
Absolutely. He's a follower of Muhammad. He's a Mohammedan.
Right. Why does it have a sort of pejorative in my head?
Oh, because the liberals are like, oh, you got to call them this, that, that. I will not say Muslim, because Muslim means a true believer, and they're not true believers. So I won't play that by their rules. But I have many good conversations like this with Mohammedans. I try to use black cabs whenever I can, but whenever there's not one available, I get an Uber.
Yeah.
And we always have, because I'm always in my collar, and they're always telling me, oh, we believe in Jesus more than you do. And it's always a great conversation starter, because they always have the same lines. But we get into it.
Jesus did go to heaven, but he didn't come back. Is that right?
No, I think they believe that Jesus didn't die on the cross, and it was Judas that took his place, but everyone saw him as Jesus. And so Jesus didn't die and wasn't resurrected. So they undermine the core tenet of the Christian faith.
Sorry, mate, that doesn't fly.
No, it doesn't.
That doesn't fly. All right, so we've come to that agreement. We're never going to agree on the fact that some people are just gay.
Based on what, though?
Based on the fact that they are just gay.
On what?
They don't. They
what does
find
that mean?
Women. They feel exactly the same about women as I feel about sexual contact with men.
But is this
sexual union with a man? Like the idea of
is it genetic,
I don't,
or is it environmental?
I think it's probably genetic.
I think there are a lot of cases of trauma-induced...
Yeah, I'd say that there were... But there were a lot of cases of trauma-induced sexual niches and, you know, little glitches in everybody.
But it's one of these areas that there isn't enough academic study, or there hasn't been for a long time. There used to be, but it's too taboo now that you're not allowed to address the issue. So we don't actually know the truth.
So, yeah, it's in some ways there's a lot... The rewriting of history is astonishing over all this stuff. That someone should do a study on that. Mm. In the same way, someone should do a study on why George Bernard Shaw is so revered in society when there was a major eugenicist who wanted to kill people. And he's lauded at my old drama school. They think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. This theatre's named after him and everything. And if you read his speeches, James Lindsay put one out yesterday of his speeches. He's like, there's several people who I would like to kill because they are useless in this world. And I'm just like, ugh.
But can we at least agree to not use the label gay, because we're not going to identify people based on who they happen to be attracted to?
A homosexual.
Just
person you want. You don't think that you. So you. What are you trying to say that?
Like the word heterosexual didn't exist before the word homosexual, because they had. It's like heterosexual is like cis man and cis woman.
Was it?
Yeah, because they had to make
God see narrative for the normative. That's how that seems.
But it's become normalized. So you using the word homosexual or gay as for an identification of a person is very much the same as them calling you a cis, someone calling you a cis man.
I feel like I'm having a really rough time from you today.
I'm just trying to open your eyes to the liberalism that you've swallowed.
Bad choice of word there in the discussion of homosexuality.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Of course you don't. Anyway, now that you've bullied me into submission, I'm gonna after I've gone and seen a therapist to help me recover. What does your week hold?
Good question. Oh, so today, as this goes out, and just afterwards, I'll be at the Lotus Eaters for election night special.
They've asked me to go.
You should come down.
I can't. I've got the kids.
Bring the kids.
I can't. I'm not doing midnight with the kids.
You don't have to do it to midnight. I think I'm doing like 7 till 10 p.m.
Yeah.
So if this goes out at 7, you guys can catch me 8 till 10 p.m. over at lotuseaters.com.
I'd love to be there, but I can't leave my...
Well, you should come down sometime. Let's do I want to do an in-depth interview with you, like what I did with Tommy.
Yeah.
And get to your background and get to who you are. That'll be nice to have a one-on-one chat.
All right, I'm up for that.
On my show.
I'm up for that. And but I will... I quite like waking up in the morning and finding out how bad it really is. I mean, it was the last time I remember that, though, was going to bed in 2020 and thinking, Trump's back in.
Oh, you know what? I used to love going to the count.
And then waking up, yeah.
Like being there with the tally and you're watching the counters and you're tallying it as they do it and you have an idea of who's going to win before it gets announced. It's so very exciting.
Yeah, it is. And late.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see. You're going to be doing Lotus Eaters election night special. We like Lotus Eaters a lot.
What are you doing?
Then you're going to return to the sanctity and peace of your...
I will be in Cambridge. What else am I doing? I honestly never know what I'm doing until I look at my calendar. Friday, I'm doing a Dan Wotton Outspoken special. So Dan Wotton's launching his new platform, finally. I think he's finally outside of the exclusivity clause with GB News. And so I'll be on, I think this is his first show, on Friday. That'll be good fun.
You got to get him to invite me on.
Yeah, of course.
I love Dan.
I'm sure he will. Saturday, there is a Trinity Forum event in London, which I'll go to. That'll be good. I think it's about the persecuted church at home and abroad.
Football on Saturday. Have you been watching the football?
Is that still on? I thought, are we still in?
We are. Oh, okay. Jump by the skin of our...
Oh, is it semi-finals? Quarter-finals?
I think it's the last 16 now, yeah. Or quarterfinals, I don't know, I can never remember how many groups there are.
I have very little interest in football.
Oh, that's a shame.
I know, that's another thing I don't like as well, the politicians that pretend they love football.
Keith Starmer.
Rishi Sunak as well, like, hey, come on lads, like, you don't even know who they are. What are you on about?
Keir Starmer wouldn't even wear an England shirt, he wore a white t-shirt.
Really?
Do you imagine how many focus groups that went through?
I'd respect him more if he said, you know what, I don't watch football. I never have watched football.
I love football now again.
Do you?
Because they don't kneel. I stopped watching it for 2 years.
I remember that. Yeah, you stopped.
I stopped watching for 2 years. I love football.
You called them a lot of names.
Yeah, well, they are. I mean, you know, one of the things you know, footballers are brilliant at is playing football. They're not always the biggest, deepest thinkers, but there are some amazing ones. Jack Grealish is a lover. He's got a really good soul.
I heard women play it now as well.
They do. Ask Joey Barton about that. See if you get into trouble. Women do play
football. Let's game it. We should have a show where we interview people as well.
Yeah, we should. We should get someone on here.
Let's do another show.
Or you and me can sit here and grill them like we did Rob.
Yes.
So you're busy. I will be watching football on Saturday.
Do you watch it at home or in the pub?
I'll watch it with Eugene at home.
Oh, good.
So
imagine he gets very excited.
Yeah, he does. But what's interesting? It's funny, kids, because they have a very simple loyalty, which is you've got to just be loyal to England regardless.
Yeah,
and that, I mean, I love that about him.
Yeah.
But also, I've been watching all the other games, and some of the lower-ranked teams, or the deemed lower-ranked teams, are playing much, much better football than the top teams. But I can see how fascinated you are by the football discussion. So that's what
it is interesting.
I will be doing. And then
I love how passionate people are about it. There's something very English about it. It's a cultural activity.
Well, also, without that, if you got rid of football and national teams and all that, you're giving them just another open door to push for the borderless world.
And you know what? It's one of the few times where you're allowed to fly St. George's flag without being called racist.
Way! Not in a taxi, though.
No, not in a taxi in the capital city of the country.
Not in a taxi in the capital city of the country, because Sadiq Khan hates Britain and hates everything about this place.
How can you say that? You're racist.
Yeah, I'm sort of done with racist now. I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need any more encouragement. I'm starting to take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't agree with me, racist. It's pathetic. Yeah. I find it so, but it's lost all its meaning, which was the whole point of my trial.
I know.
Was to try and say this word means something. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are. But now you've just called everyone a racist.
Yeah.
The racists are just walking around having a barrel of laughs.
Yeah.
So then that's that. Sunday, Eugene's got a bat mitzvah.
Yeah, cool.
And that's, they always go on forever. I think it finishes late, so I'm trying to work out how to try and get out of that. Because I don't want to go and pick someone up from Golders Green at 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday evening. Thanks very much. And then on Monday, the process begins of moving.
Okay.
The entire life has to move.
Are you packing, or you got people coming?
I've got people coming to help. Liz is coming to help. I'm going to take up all my valuable stuff. I started playing music again.
Good.
Yeah. Started doing things that I used to love.
You're happier when you're playing music.
I'm much happier. So I'm going to do some more music. I'm going to write. I'm going to try and get some of my creativity back.
We should record a theme song for Fox and Father.
Yes. Can you rap on it?
I don't do rap. That's racist.
Come on. It would be funny if you were rapping. I'll rap. Would me rapping be racist? You can't say it's racist. Eminem is a rapper.
Rap's degenerate. Let's do some nice music.
Drill. Gangster rap? Come on, Cav. What do you want? I know what you want. You want some choral masterpiece, don't you?
That would be nice, but I was thinking more... what's that song we were trying to sing the other day?
The rich man
north of Richmond. Yes.
Well, I've written a song, so maybe it will fit in, called The Brave, which I'm actually going to record. It'd be interesting to see if I've still got the lack of skills or the skills, depending on what you do. So that's it.
Okay. So let's once you've moved in, let's set up this new
interview. Program. Yeah. Well, we have a new member of staff who is also going to start booking guests.
Okay, excellent.
So that's good. And we're just about to crush the 100,000 subscriber threshold.
Amazing.
So we can
get a silver plaque.
Do we get a little plaque?
Okay.
That we stick on the wall. Lizzie's already come up with some pretty... she wants some plaques outside our house already.
Oh.
Trans-free zone.
What does that mean? Everywhere is a trans-free zone. There's no such thing as trans.
Yeah, exactly. Woke-free zone.
Right.
You know, I'm ordering the flagpole as we speak. So
good.
Yeah.
Are you going to put the Union flag up?
I am. I certainly am going to put the Union flag up, except on St. George's Day, and then the St. George's flag.
That's a good way to do it.
And I'm going to have it right there. Yeah. It's right near the edge of the village.
I've just ordered a Sacred Heart flag. The month of June is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So when everyone puts up their trans flags or their child mutilation flags in June, next year I'll put up my Sacred Heart flag instead.
Nice, and get a brick through the window. So will our next Fox and Father will be in here. But our next Fox and Father after that might be in the new studio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Which will look very similar to this, but right. I'm sending that.
Can I keep the cross, please?
Yes, the cross is staying. That was a gift from Irene. Yeah. And Paul, bless. Well, I love you.
Love you too, brother.
And thanks for watching. See you next week.
Cheers, guys. God bless.
Bye.